And so, Father in heaven, we come again today fully cognizant of the fact that in ourselves we cannot bring forth your purpose and your will in this word. We cannot expound it, nor can we receive it, except you have mercy upon us. For this is the compressed wisdom of the Almighty God. And so, Father, I, as one under authority, come to strip myself afresh of any and every confidence. I have my preparation and what I've done alone. I trust you for fresh mercy. I look to the heavens, O Lord God, ask you for fresh mercy so that, Lord, you will help me by your mercy to use that which I have learned, to use that which I have been taught, to use what I have prepared, Lord God, to bring forth this word in accuracy, in power, in simplicity, but most importantly, in the love and the comfort of your Spirit, bringing this word forth as an edifying word that will change the hearts and the lives of all those that hear it, both physically here and also remotely by electronic means, in the name of Jesus. That I speak, Lord, your power will go forth and your presence will go forth, Lord, and your Spirit will back these words so that wherever they are heard in all the earth, men will not be hearers alone, but be doers of the things which they hear, being blessed in all their doings, causing them to be changed from within, to become more like you, in the name of Jesus. I ask for mercy to be concise, to be precise. Help me not to say anything that is unnecessary. So I will bring forth from out of the treasure of your word things both old and new, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, so that these words will be spirit and life, in the name of Jesus. I also ask you to help me, Lord God, as I bring forth this word, your power to increase in the atmosphere, to break every yoke, to meet every need, causing our minds to be more enlightened by the revelation knowledge of your word, our wills to be more humble and therefore submitted to your will, and our emotions to be controlled and tempered even more by the precious fruit of your and the power of the Spirit, of the fruit of love, in the name of Jesus. I also ask that, Lord, as I speak, this word will go forth as a refreshing to all, but especially to my fathers. I will say, I duck under now their covering and the anointings. I ask you put their mantles upon me. So I will bring forth this word as they would have were they preaching themselves, so that, Lord, this word will bring refreshing to all, but especially to them. As they eat and drink of this vine, let them be satisfied with the travail of their souls in me. I thank you because you are faithful who has promised. You will not lie to David, Lord God. You will help me do exceeding abundantly above all that I can ever imagine, because faithful art thou who has promised. We pray, ask, and receive in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to thank God for this great privilege, and we're still there. And the book of Acts, as we said, is relevant because now we're in the season where God is going to begin to bring forth the glory of the latter house through his Zion church that is about to rise from the land beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. And all the signs in the heavens and the earth are pointing to the fact that we are now smack in that season. Amen. In our last lesson, we saw Simon the sorcerer, the fake power of God. He said it was a great power of God, the power of God in Samaria, who tried to buy the power of the Holy Spirit laying on of hands to enhance his business. And we said in the last lesson that there are many so-called businessmen, pastors, apostles, and prophets in the church today who are seeking to enhance their business using the giftings and the power that God has made available to them to do so. And we said, like Jesus did, like the Lord Jesus did in his ministry, both at the beginning and at the end, in this season, he's going to flush them out of the church. When the church of God, the Zion church, arises, the Bible says 2/3 will be cut off. All those people that work iniquity and practice lawlessness are going to be rooted out. We gave this the type in Balaam who received money in order to curse the people of Israel. And we know what happened to him. Amen. And so God is going to flush out all these business men, pastors, and priests who try to sell their giftings for monetary gain. Amen. We also saw that the primary business of the church is prayer. The Bible says, my house shall be a house of prayer for all nations. Amen. Amen. And it was lamenting in Mark also that they have made it a den of thieves. All nations move at what God does through the prayer of his saints on the earth. Amen. We also pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. This is how God rules. And that's why it's so important that we take this issue of prayer very, very seriously. The Bible says, first, that's the first job of the church on the earth today. First of all, that prayers, supplications, and intercessions be made for all men, And then for kings and those who are in authority. And it's the power of the prayer that released in prayer by the church that God now uses to move around and manipulate circumstances to bring his kingdom to pass upon the earth. We also said the second mandate of the church is the ministry of the word. Amen. Remember in Acts chapter 6 verse 4, they said, the apostle said, we want to give ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. Prayer comes first before the ministry of the word. It's the prayer that facilitates the proper ministry of the word that God can now use to change the nations of the earth and bring them into divine purpose. Amen. And we also mentioned that this prayer and this word is a job, is the commandment given unto the Zion church. The Zion church, through prayer, is going to tear the veil over the eyes of all the earth and remove the covering over the face of nations. And then not only that, they will now provide a place where the word is ministered in such a way that will cause men to grow up into the fullness of Christ. The Bible says that he's going to provide strong wine on the lees, well refined. The word of God must go forth in a refined manner that the peoples of the earth will now begin to come. So they will come from all over to come to learn of the ways of the God of Jacob and to walk in his paths. And one of those things that we're going to be doing is teaching them how to be perfected in Christ. The Bible says that, you know, Christ in us, the hope of glory, who we teach, who we preach, warning every man that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Amen. And then we saw Peter also rebuked the sorcerer. Simon the sorcerer was rebuked as Peter was able by the Spirit to discern his heart. The Bible says that he was caught in a gall of bitterness. Amen. And we saw in Hebrews chapter 12 that we must be very careful in allowing the root of bitterness to affect our hearts. Because it says, if one does so, it also provides a platform for Satan to use to cause other people to become offended. And this is very important because allowing this means that there's a landing site. God forbid, it will not be you in Jesus' name, it will not be me in Jesus' name. But by bitterness, there's a landing site that Satan can now use. Look at the example of Simon. He had, I don't know what the offense was, it doesn't really matter, but the fact was it was there and it was not taken care of. And what happened was that Satan used it as a landing site to keep an entire city subject to him. Amen? That power, because of that landing site, Satan was able to use the power of witchcraft to keep the entire city bewitched. Amen? But we saw that we are supposed, if we do come into offense, that says offenses will come, what we do is that we instantly forgive from the heart. Even before anything else happens, in our thoughts, we release that person, forgiving him. Then later, in the course of our prayers, we confess that sin, we receive life. That says, if you see your brethren, see a sin not unto death, you shall ask and receive life for him. We receive life, and then we pray in tongues. And this way, we are constantly forgiving, constantly rooting out any offense that may cause bitterness that others may be defiled by out of our hearts continually. Amen. And our pastor said, we have instruction from the Holy Spirit. You don't forgive once or twice, you forgive 70 times 7 per person per day. Say hallelujah, somebody. Now say, God, Lord, increase my faith. Amen. 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 And finally, we saw that though Simon the sorcerer was in that state, when he was rebuked, he instantly repented. And that's a very, very important thing. Because, you see, we see people and we don't know. We just assume that if you're not born again, yeah, you know, I'm there. No, God doesn't see none of that. This man, even though he was a sorcerer, he was practicing witchcraft, somewhere in the depths of his heart, maybe there was a yearning to be free. And the moment that rebuke came, he said, it's me. That's honesty of heart. And he asked me, pray for me, that none of these things that you have spoken come upon me. And that's how we must see people. You know, God said we should show mercy to others as he shows mercy unto them. Amen? So that they too will get a taste of the mercy of God through us. Amen? And so, you know, even as, you know, as bad as you can, some people can be, remember, we must always understand that God's desire is to save all men. But says he's not willing that any, not even one. You know why? Because that person was originally a part of him. That person came out of him. So God is not going to release that person without doing every and anything possible, including using you and I to reach him. So we must go in that understanding that God wants to save. That says a smoking flax, he will not quench. A broken reed, he will not break. Let's show mercy to others, even as God has shown mercy unto us. Amen? The Bible says, Luke 6:36 says, be merciful, even as I am merciful. Amen. So that's where we stopped the last time, and we're now going to continue by the help of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. We'll start from verse 26. Amen. Hallelujah, somebody. We'll start reading from verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, arise, and go towards the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem into Gaza, which is desert. He said, Gaza's already been there in the Bible. Amen. Even that Gaza, it's been there all over the Bible. Hallelujah. Somebody just flashed my mind. He said, where he was, he went down to Gaza. Anyway, let's not get into that. So, we see here, let's continue, sorry, forgive me, next verse. And he rose and went, I like that. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, all the way from Ethiopia. That's a journey. It could take months, could take years. Anyway, we go on. Was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Esaias the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to his chariot. And so Philip ran thither unto him, and heard him and read the prophet Esaias, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he will come up and say, let's stop there for a minute. We see in this passage, help me Lord, God beginning the third stanza of his word to the apostles, the disciples in Jerusalem. Give me Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Acts 1 verse 8. This is the third part. It says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Now get this. Both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, that had already happened. So Jerusalem, the word came, the Holy Ghost came in Jerusalem, and when the persecution began, the first place they were scattered into Judea, and then we now saw Samaria. So he's done Jerusalem and Judea, and in Samaria. But now from Samaria, God now begins to reach out. Where to? To the uttermost parts of the earth. So this is like the third stanza of what God had asked the disciples to do. Now, oh glory to God. Where was the first place recorded that the gospel was sent to in the uttermost parts of the earth? Ethiopia. Sub-Saharan Africa. Hallelujah, somebody. The first place outside the Holy Land of Jerusalem and Samaria that the gospel of the kingdom, the first place recorded, now I don't even know if it's gone elsewhere, but where it was first recorded was Africa, Ethiopia specifically, or among the sons of Ham. Glory be to God. Now, I said, why did God do this? And I said, but why? But I don't know specifically, but I suspect, and this is how God works sometimes, you know, that God saw, he looked ahead, and God knows the end from the beginning. But it says, known unto God are all his works right from the beginning. When he said that, he was talking about raising the tabernacle of David. Acts chapter 15. But yes, his God must have looked through the beginning, right into time, and seen the great deprivation, the great subjection of tribulation that the black race was going to be subjected to throughout the years. Only one race has been universally turned to slaves. The black race. Everywhere you go, all over the earth, that is changing and it will change. And guess who's going to be in the avenue? Who's been the avenue of change? We, the black people from beyond the. But that, I'm getting ahead of myself. But this is God must have looked and said, I need to give these people extra encouragement. And then the first place that he sends the gospel to, remember before they had Judaism. We'll talk about that maybe later. But this is God wanted to give the comfort of the scripture to the black race. Hello. In Romans chapter 15, I think it is. Can we bring it up? Where it talks about through the comfort and the hope of the script and the patience and hope. Romans chapter 15. You know, God must have said, and I need to show these people that this plan was including them right from the very beginning. Because of the deprivations, the slave trade, and the way black people all over the earth are talked, are spoken about, and are, you know. But that is going to change in this season. But God said, I'm going to give them a word right from the beginning. Just like he did for Abraham. Remember, he told Abraham, he said, your children will be in bondage for 400 years. But after 400 years, I will visit them and bring them out. This is the same thing like that. Let's see that. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, hallelujah, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Amen. So God brings us hope. So when you read the Bible and you see that place, this is the first place God sent the gospel to outside the Holy Land. Record it. You take it makes you feel something. That's what happened to me when I read it. I said, Lord, I'd never seen this before. Amen. And though we're going to go through too much tribulation and deprivation, ridicule for the sons of Ham, God has provided us a place in glory destined to finish first. And he gave us a seed in bringing that gospel first to sub-Saharan Africa, even though he wasn't going to be staying there because he was pointing to another place from beyond. You see, that Ethiopia is important because it is from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia where the rivers divide. But he started in Ethiopia. Hallelujah. Amen, somebody. So, take comfort. Take solace from the scripture. God has not finished yet. And the last shall definitely become first in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. So we see that. Now, let's go back and read from Acts verse 26. I think we already read it. Acts verse 20. Yes. Now, first of all, see here, Philip had had great success. Miracles had taken place. God had used him mightily in Samaria. And then God said, get up and go. Now, he could have said, God, if you buy another devil, this place is good too, Lord. Let's just pause a while, maybe just, enjoy ourselves a bit. Maybe we'll plant a church right here in Samaria. Hallelujah. A church of the Lord in Samaria. Like some will do. Amen. No, he didn't do that. When the angel of the Lord spoke to him, he obeyed immediately. Bible says he got up. Hallelujah. He didn't try to establish an empire. Hello, brethren. This task of discipling the whole world is a colossal task. Amen. And we must make ourselves available as and when God calls us. Respond to his leadings immediately. He didn't contest with God. He didn't say, God, what do you want me to go and do south? It's desert now. Hello, somebody. And he wasn't being sent to Chicago either. He was being asked to go to a place where there was absolutely nothing. From where he had something. But God is good and his mercy is endure forever. We're going to be sent forth. God says, after the glory, Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8, says, God will send us. And he's not going to give us an option as to where he's sending us to. Amen? Hello, somebody? All he wants to hear from us is, here I am, Lord. Send me. I'm ready. How many people are ready to go? How many people are ready to go? All right, a few of us. Amen? You two be ready that deal. If I says in the day of his power, his people shall be willing. Amen? Ready to go. Here I am, send me. And pastors highlighted the vision of this house, that when we go, we're going to go as teams. Apostolic prophetic teams. Amen? There'll be apostolic prophetic headship. There'll be leaders. There'll be doctors. There'll be teachers. There'll be engineers. Amen? There'll be pilots to fly the helicopters in and out. We are going to go. Amen? Tell them we're going to go. Because this gospel of the kingdom must be preached for a witness. Amen. But the key to this is obedience, immediate obedience to instruction. Instruction of spiritual oversight. And that's what is going to give us that success in discipling the nations. So he responded quickly. He didn't answer this, say, Lord, why now? Eh? He didn't delay. And it was so important because there had to be a synchrony. So for him to fulfill the will of God, there had to be a timing. There was a timing, and there will always be a timing involved in events of God. Can you imagine if he had taken a week or two, maybe a month, and said, Lord, the moment I've gone, thank you, sir. And the whole purpose of God may have been delayed. But thank God, he chose to obey immediately. And so Philip obeyed. He went down. That's what I say. He went down towards the desert. Nothing there. God didn't tell you what he was going to do there. Just said, go. And said, and he, Philip, arose and went. And then it was as he went that, as I said, and he said, behold, which means that revelation. He now got there and he saw, wow, This is the person. God, oh Shakara. Reminds me of scripture in Genesis. When the Lord sent, Abraham sent his servant to go and get a wife for Isaac. He says, I being in the way, the Lord led me. Which means that, oh Shakarakaba. We must be in the way many times. We must be in the way of obeying God before God will now show us where exactly we are going. Hello, somebody. He says, I being in the way. And what is the way? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father or unto the purpose the Father has instituted except through him. So we need to understand that we must set ourselves, folks, the way is being like Christ. The degree to which we come like the Lord Jesus is the degree to which God will lead us in with you know, fine leading. Precision. Thank you. That's what I'm looking for, sir. Fine precision leading. That's the degree to which we can say, well, go this way now. No, don't go this way. Go this way now. Stop there. You know, it's coming to that now. And except we are in the way, Lord have mercy upon us. We'll be in the way in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Oh, that's our point. Just be in the way, God will lead us. Amen. Now, the Bible says in Hebrews, we saw that in the book of Hebrews, says they went out not knowing where they were going. And when I read things like that, it boggles my mind. I say, they just got up, took everything. I said, God, which direction? Is it north? Is it south? Is it east or west? And God says, go south. And just starts going. Bim. That's the level of obedience we all must get to. And mommy, I'm sure you remember this. Remember our Yungba trip? This was yes, I can that trip is sealed on my mind forever. I know there was an Yungba trip. Mommy just there was a, I think it was a couple that came from Yungba and they came to see mommy and almost I think it was about a week after that, mommy just said, we're going to Yungba. I said, where the hell is Yungba? I had never, until she mentioned that name, I had never heard it. But, you know, we got up, and I can remember traveling through. Nobody knew where Yungba was. Pastor Twitch, remember? We were traveling, and I got to one place. We said, where are we? Orumaniyo, in the night. But God led us until we got there. And to the glory of God, a school was established in Yungba, and I believe it's still functioning today. What do I say? The willingness to get up, not knowing exactly. But just when that God said, and I want to thank God for the Father's house, particularly mommy. Everybody has worked with me knows that when, if God has not said, nothing is happening. But come on, just go, pin. Ah. If God said, this is it, that's all. Just go. And everybody will struggle to. She's gone. And we need to develop that. That's all. Thank you. God bless you. Thank God for your example. We need to develop that. Because she's so focused upon doing the will of God. Come on, please. We need. Before God says, I'm ready. Here I go. Amen. And we need to emulate this. The Bible says, now you should take fast hold of instruction, for it is thy life. And that he that dwells in the way of instruction dwells in the way of life. Hallelujah. So, and at the root of all this, I wrote here, to obedience is submission to authority, first of the word, then to oversight, and then humility and honesty of heart. Which, like we all know or should know, was the secret of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, learn of me, I am meek, and I am lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls. Amen. So, Philip's humility and obedience to instruction positioned him. Oh, glory to God. And that's exactly what it's all about. It's that honesty and humility, because God is the one that knows the plan. You don't know, I don't know. He says, known unto him are all his works from the beginning. But he says, he has an end for you. He says, I know the thoughts I think towards you that are peace to bring you to an expected end. He is the only one who knows the way. But by humility, by submission to the word, submission and humility to oversight, God will lead us in the way to where we will rendezvous with our destiny. Hallelujah! Amen, somebody! And so this is it. And so he meets up with this Ethiopian treasure. And the gospel of the kingdom was thrust into black Africa at the highest level to make sure that Africa was not going to peter out somewhere. This was a man, but he had great authority. He was a treasurer in the court of the king. Now, as I was saying earlier, before they had Judaism. How many remember the Queen of Sheba? She went to Solomon and, you know, she was so overwhelmed. She stayed there. She saw all of his kingdom, all his, you know, courtiers, the way he ate, the way all his servants were well. And God said she fainted. And so Elisha went to find out. You know, they said that there was a son between them. Menelik the first. They had a son. But what happens is that she took that Judaism back. And that's where these, what they call falashas. You know, they had the today. So they had Judaism up until now. But now here was, because of this meeting between Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, centuries after the true gospel of salvation in Christ was introduced into sub-Saharan Africa at the highest level. Amen. Now, let's go back. Verse 31. Help me, Lord. I trust we're getting something out of this. Verse 31. And he said, let's read together. How can I, talking about, you know, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And he was really without understanding. Glory to God. And he said, how can I understand except some man should guide me? And the place of the scripture is read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearer. So opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare this generation? For his life is taken from the earth. He must have said, hey, how can I understand the scripture except some man guide me? In other words, the scripture, this book here, the most marvelous document known to mankind, the compressed wisdom of God throughout the ages, all of man's, God's dealings with man are inside this book. Pastor was preaching about it on Wednesday. It was so exciting. You know, that everything in this book, there are things in this book that we haven't even begun to plumb. We've just scratched the surface. Amen? This is the word of the Creator to his creation. And so it's very, very presumptuous to think that just by reading it alone, just reading from A to B, you know, read all the different, and you can understand what God is saying. Impossible. It's impossible. Bible said that word. Bible didn't say. Pastor Tozer says the scripture is a complex mosaic of the literal and the symbolic. Amen? And literally, it takes a guide to be able to bring it out to be able to give us the manifold wisdom of God. Papa Ralph described it like this. He said it was like an onion. That as you are peeling one layer, another layer is underneath. As you peel another, so there's different levels of understanding. And so this man was reading and he didn't understand. Amen. Hello, somebody. This is an eternal word that God himself lives by. And so the Bible says that scripture, the letter killeth, but the spirit gives life. That spirit is the guide. The Holy Ghost. Amen. Let me give you guys in John chapter 16 somewhere. John chapter 16, verse 13. Thank you. John 16, verse 13. Thank you, sir. John 16, verse 13. Talking about, I said, how can I understand? Except some man guide me. Yes. So how be it, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all the word. Truth. Thy word is truth. I just put that in there. Thy word is, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come in the word. That's a paraphrase for me. Amen. And so we need to understand that this scripture, this word here, yes, it's true, it's good to read. It's very important to read your Bible daily. But the scripture itself, for you to understand, for us to understand the levels of the wisdom of God, the manifold wisdom of God, we need a guide. Now, the Bible says the Spirit gives life. As a baby Christian, I used to wonder. You know, I read places like, I am the one who creates evil. I am the one that formed darkness. And then I read somewhere else, in him is light and no darkness at all. I say, how is it possible? God says he's the one that creates evil. He's the one that creates darkness. And then he says he's light. And which is, that's a baby understanding. Amen? The world is at different levels. There are three levels. Three is God's number of perfection. First of all, there's milk. Bible says, desire ye the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Apostle Paul said, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. That's the second level. There's milk, which babies in Christ imbibe, and it's very good. You start with the milk and you enjoy it, you know, and Lord is good. But then after that, there's meat. Hallelujah. So God doesn't want us to remain at milk, but to move to meat. Meat, you must have grown some teeth. Bible says that God will give wisdom to those who are weaned from the breasts. Amen. So you begin to partake of meat for older Christians. Amen. So I fed you with milk and not with meat because you are not yet able to bear it. You bear meat in Jesus' name. Amen. And then after that, there's strong meat. Hello, somebody. That's a strong meat. Give me that. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. Hallelujah. Thank you. This is what it says. You understand not living by wean from the milk and drawn from the breast. It says, but strong meat belongs to them that are full age, mature. Hello, somebody. They be what? By reason of use, have their senses what? Exercised to discern both good and evil. Hello, somebody. We're going to that place. You will get there in Jesus' name. You will desire you yourself. And the Papa Rav says, sometimes God will throw some bones there, you know? So that you grind, you grind, you grind. You haven't ever eaten bone before. Until that bone becomes soft. Hello, yeah. Hello, somebody. Now, this is it. And there's a, how do you make the transition? The Lord had mercy on me, showed me. He says, to make the transition from one to the other, you have to do four things. Number one, you have to read and study the word daily. That's the raw material. You must read. Hello, somebody. And I'm speaking to everybody and myself, too. You got to read the Bible. That's the raw material. The logos of the word. You put that word in there. Just read it. Read it. And then, you know, study, as the Bible says, study to show thyself approved. At the level where you just read and study the word. Amen? Then you have to pray in the Spirit. Hello, somebody. The Bible says it's the Spirit that gives life to the word. And it's the word that you've imbibed, you put in your spirit, that he will enlighten. Amen? We see that in, let's go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, very important. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, I think. Verse 7, yes, thank you. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden, that's the hidden manner. Hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which I paraphrase is hidden in the word. Amen? So, next verse. Speak the wisdom, next verse, which none of the princes of this world had known, for they don't live with. Next verse, verse 9. But as written, now this is it. As is written in the word, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Next verse. But God hath revealed them unto us. How? By his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, the deep things of God. Hallelujah. Strong meat and bones. That's where you get it from. So the Spirit will enlighten you, understand as you pray in the Spirit. Let's go. Next verse. hallelujah. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man. But the Spirit of God, no, you've got to get it by the Spirit, from the Holy Spirit, the guide himself. Amen? All right. Then we now pray for the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. What happens there? Let me just go back a little bit. What happens is that when you're praying in tongues, you're speaking divine hidden secrets. And as you're speaking, words, you know, paint pictures. What you do is as you pray and speak in tongues, as you pray over the word in your heart, God begins to enlighten your understanding concerning the things that you have read in the word. So, when you now read a scripture, it enlightens. It just comes alive. It just comes alive to you. It's like, that's revelation. Amen? God shines the light. Thank you, sir. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. Hallelujah. Thank you, sir. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. God shines the light. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, yes. Say, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Has what? Shined where? To do what? To give the light, revelation, of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So as you're praying in tongues, you're praying in tongues, you're praying in tongues, the things you read, God begins to enlighten them. He shines the light of the Holy Spirit upon your heart. And you now receive, wow, that's, you know, that's what happens when you get here. So Pastor and Mommy are preaching, and you just say, oh, come on, to jabone, you just grab something for yourself. And you say, ah, wow. Or the word, like, yes, oh, shaka, brother, shaka. Like yesterday when we were praying. Oh, Lord have mercy. And the word came forth. And we had three covenant reasons to pray for the American elections in favor of Hillary Clinton. And it came at the very end. It was actually almost finished. But then God just shone that light. Bass. And one says, wait, wait. And he now she pronounced it as if God was giving that word to Mommy to give back to him so he could do what he wanted to do. That's how it works. Amen. And all your scripture. Everything scripture. That's how it works. Amen? So you're going to get to strong meat in Jesus' name. Hundredfold hidden manna meat in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. So the Holy Spirit can give you light directly. Or you can ask another person who he has given that light to enlighten your understanding. But the essence is all of us should come to a knowledge of the Holy of the Word, moving from milk to meat and then to strong meat. Hallelujah. This reminds you of the account of the Lord Jesus and his disciples on the way to Emmaus. How many of you remember that? After he resurrected, he was on the road with his disciples, and they didn't understand. They were talking about, you should have been the one that should have risen and have delivered us, And Jesus was standing right then, right next to them. He said, why are you so sad? He said, because this Messiah that was crucified, I thought he was only going to restore the kingdom to Israel. Amen. And God says, right from there, God began to speak to them, and he began to open. God says, he opened up. Thank you. Starting from Moses, he began to preach. That's it. Began to preach, and he opened the scriptures unto them, which means that the scripture is a closed book. And you need apostolic, prophetic understanding. You need the power of the Spirit to be able to unravel it. Amen. So it's not just read the word, folks. That's where I'm going. You don't just read the word and just open. This is what mature ministry of the world will do. Two things happened there. It said their hearts were burning. You know, when you hear the truth, like we, by the grace of God, we hear practically every week. Bible says that their hearts were burning. That truth will resonate in your heart. You may not even be a Christian, but there are unbelievers that know the truth when they hear it. Because there's a portion of God in them. Their conscience will bear witness to the fact that they've heard the truth. They may not respond, though. They will respond in Jesus' name. But the essence is they will know it's the truth. And then apart from the heart resonating, then also it will give them understanding of the word. Amen. Give life to the word so that they will know exactly what God is doing. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, so this is a pattern that God wants us to employ to go from eating just ordinary milk, drinking milk, to meat, to strong meat. Amen. Now, so let's go back to Acts chapter 8, where we see if you appear, trust in the Lord to help you finish up. From verse 32. Acts chapter 8, 32. The place of the scripture which read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare this generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And Enoch answered and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh this prophet? Of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same to preach Christ unto him. This is the most poignant aspect, more poignant section of scripture that exists. Now, I want to see something here. Look how God synchronized this guy, the eunuch and Philip together. Just brought all the way from Samaria. It's far from Gaza. Brought him, synchronized. Folks, tell you, but God is in control. Perfect control. Nothing else can be done. God reigns in affairs. What does this say to us in the present? I'm not going to go over all that, because if you want to go read it, you can read it in Isaiah 53. But in essence, he was talking about the sacrificial, vicarious suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ that brought us into salvation. Amen. And what does this say to us in this present? And let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. This is very important, because substitutionary death is always redemptive. And we need to imbibe the example of the Lord Jesus in this regard. Let's look at this. It says, for this is thankworthy. Hello, somebody. For this is thankworthy. If a man, for conscience towards God, endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Next verse. For what glory is it, if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? Some of them are like, suffering for Christ. It's your fault too, and you're suffering for it. Yeah? There's no reward in that. Says, but if, when you do well, hallelujah, you will do well in Jesus' name. Don't be afraid to do well. Says, when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. Next verse. For even hereunto we were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving an example that we should follow his steps. Next verse. who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Hallelujah. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. But this is what he did. He said he committed himself to him that judges righteously. Fire your defense attorney. That's what Barbara said 7 years ago. He said, don't be arguing your case. Yes, you've done well. They made a mistake and they don't give you the credit. Or they even make you suffer for something you did well. Says, don't worry. Commit yourself to God. The God that judges righteously will vindicate you in due season. Amen? Don't be trying to fight and fight. No! Says he committed to him that judges right. Knowing that his judgment is safe in God. And hey, guess what? God vindicated Jesus. Did he not? Was he not risen from the dead? Is he not King of Kings and Lord of Lords today? Amen? So let's put that, Papa said that a long time ago, and I never forgot. He said, fire your defense attorney. Don't be in the habit of answering and being, fighting for your own rights. No human rights. In the gospel, there's no human rights. Amen. So this is it. Now, let's go on. And he says, now there's a part I want to read in that Isaiah 53, verse 10. He says, he shall see his seed. The Bible says, he shall see his seed. What does that mean? He says, his seed will reproduce after his own kind. In other words, the seed that was sown in the earth, the Bible says, except a corn of wheat die, and is sown in the earth and dies, and it abideth alone. But when it is, it comes out, it comes forth in multiples. It abideth alone. But once it is sown in the earth, so when it comes forth, it brings forth much fruit. That seed of the Christ that was sown in the earth all those days is about to bear multiple fruits of the same seed. The Bible says, if seed must bring forth after its own kind. That seed is about to come out of the earth now. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. In verse 11 says, the Lord shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. In the Amplified, it says, he shall see the fruit of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. That fruit there represents two things. Number one, the fruit of the earth that comes forth as a Zion church from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia come forth out. Amen? The first fruits of the perfect church about to rise out of this land where the rivers divide. The Bible talks about in Isaiah chapter 18, verse 7. It said, there shall be a present brought at this time from the land that the rivers have spoiled, a present to the place of the name of the God of hosts, even Mount Zion. Hello? And then the fruit of agape, divine love, in those people that arise in the earth. Amen? And thank God, Mommy has been stressing, pastors have been stressing that divine love, agape love is the greatest. That thing has been stressed that God's answer is love. And we must perfect love, putting great emphasis on the fact that love is the answer, agape love is the greatest, that daily, and all of us must do it, daily we must examine ourselves, confess our secret faults, and look up to heaven from whence cometh our help. So that in honesty and humility of heart, we will now reproduce that same agape love, that fruit of perfect love that was in Christ, so that he will now see the fruit of his travail in us. Amen? Folks, I sent a text, a WhatsApp to Mommy concerning this when she first proposed. I said, the time of manifestation is near. She sent right and said, no, the time of manifestation is not near. It is here. That time is here. Folks, the day and the hour is now when the Lord Jesus must and will, in the name of Jesus, will see the fruit of his travail in us. And when I say us, I'm talking about all those who join in this project of perfecting agape love. Love is the greatest. Love is the answer. Amen? And by his mercy, we in this house and we beyond the rivers of Ethiopia have been given the honor, the privilege to be part of the first fruits company that God is bringing forth in the earth. Amen? Both as kings and as princes. That says, I and the children. Amen. Okay, now let's close. We're going to close verse 36. So, let's see now. Verse 36. Help me, Lord. Yes, and as they went their way, they came unto certain water, and the eunuch said, here is water. What does it hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What I saw there is this. There are two levels that we must go through to get that you know, experience of being born again. We see Romans chapter 10, verse 10. But what happened here was that when he was preaching that word from Isaiah 53, when he was expounding Christ, that word caused faith. That says, faith cometh by the hearing of the word, caused faith to arise in the heart of the eunuch. And it was him that now pointed the word and said, look, hello, this is water. What have you been talking about? Can we do it right away? Which means that already that faith had an effect upon his heart. It was already worked in his heart. He had faith to believe and to be born again. But the Holy Ghost, God help me. You know that says, with the heart, man believeth, and then with the mouth, confession is made unto. So God said, yes, you have faith, but now you also must speak that faith out. So he didn't tell him what to do. He just said, if you believe, your heart. You know, the guy says, I believe. So not only was the faith in the heart, but also the word went forth to establish his being born again and receiving the Christ life. And let me close with this. As soon as that came, oh, glory to God. God is great. As soon as that happened, the guy got born again. The seed, hallelujah, the seed had been sown in his heart. And he was going to take that seed to sub-Saharan Africa to fulfill the word of the Lord. See the synchronous events. See what one man's obedience has done. Amen? But what happened? As soon as they were coming up out of the water, oh, glory to God. I know I'm excited. When he came out, as he was coming out, Philip disappeared. Hey, glory be to God. He just checked out. God says, the Ethiopian saw him no more. And I know Philip didn't see the Ethiopian anymore either. Amen? What are we saying? God removed him. The Bible says he then appeared. That means he disappeared. So he appeared at Azotus. That means he must have disappeared somewhere. You don't appear if you don't disappear. God just swept him off. I asked my question, why didn't God take him there by that way? Why didn't God disappear him, forgive my English, disappear him from Samaria to go and meet the guy? God was watching on his obedience. And then when he had fulfilled the word of the Lord, he had fulfilled the will of God, God now stepped and said, I'm going to show you something you have never seen before, son. I'm going to take you and disappear you and cause you to appear. He appeared at us. He said, he was just like, and he was there. Folks, signs and wonders. He says, I and the children are for signs and for wonders. That's a wonder. Some of us will do that. God will do some of us, amen? Because this word, everything must be fulfilled in our own time. God says that you will do the things that he did and even greater. So be encouraged, folks. Our best hours ahead. God is about to do great things in us and through us. In this season of his glory. Amen and amen.
Praise the Lord. That's not a super clap offer. I'm so excited for that word that Pastor Jesus just brought, particularly that ending part. And on Wednesday, I was speaking about, you know, the feeding of the 5,000, and you know, and the workings of miracles, and this again is something the Lord has said to us today, so that, you know, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. So many Christians find it difficult to believe that these things are so. The supernatural is real, folks. Hallelujah. This is an example of a sign. And it came through, like Pastor G pointed out, obedience. Obedience, simple obedience. And the Spirit of God said to Philip, now go down to Gaza. And he didn't judge it by feeble sense. Oh, how much am I going to make there? Is the place viable? Hello? No. I like what the way Pastor G said it, and I'll just reiterate that. He says, the degree, I'm paraphrasing, the degree to which we are in the way is the degree to which God can lead us. I being in the way, the Lord led me. You want God to lead you? Get in the way. What is the way? Prayer, walking the Spirit like Jesus. Start copying, start imitating, mimicking Jesus. And as you do that, you pray in the Spirit, you obey the Word, you speak the Word. It is when you are in the way, as you are in the way, then the Lord, the Holy Spirit will start giving you direction. And that's very, 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 very important, you know. And that was what now led this man, Philip, you know. Remember where Philip started from. He was a deacon. It's always good to go for not to forget where we came from. He was serving tables. He wasn't amongst the apostles. He wasn't among the 12. He was just, he was a man of wisdom and of integrity. And he was just, you know, doing physical organization to feed the widows and all of that. It was from that place of faithfulness. God now took him, gave him an evangelistic anointing. He went to Samaria, did great miracles, but God didn't stop there. Then he now told him, go down to Gaza. He went down to Gaza. And this, as far as we know, this is the only recorded portion of scripture where somebody in the New Testament, you know, had the experience of the rapture. What Philip had was a rapture. That's to say, cut. It's not like he didn't go to heaven. He went to Azotus. But you know what that speaks to us today? And that's what you need to know. I said this on Wednesday, and Pastor Wega, the Holy Spirit has used him to reiterate it again. With God, nothing shall be impossible. That's why we need to be hearing these kind of things. We are going to see greater miracles than this. There is no... With this kind of transportation, there's no something as a closed country. Whether it's Pakistan or Afghanistan or Iran, God can catch you into the president's room. Right in his bedroom there. Pray for him, lay hands, get him filled with the Holy Ghost, and then you disappear again. And you know what you just did? You just caught a whole nation. Someone say, can these things be? Of course they can. We are hey, look to the heavens. The God who made the heavens and the earth. How easy it is for him to take you from one place to another. And he just catch you up. You know, all kinds of... Believe it, folks. We're going to see limbs grow out. We're going to see eyes formed. We're going to see the dead raised. And it's going to be common. I said this prophetically years ago, and I'm still saying it, you know, that some of these spectacular miracles will become as common as tongues is now. You know, tongues is to you now, tongues is just, you know, common. You just wake up in the morning and just... 100 years ago... Tongues was something that was a very special thing. At the close of the 19th century, you know, in the 1890s, they saw it in the Bible and they were trying to get it back, and so many people hadn't got it. But now today, tongues has become it's common. But even though it is common, it's not common. How many people know that? Hello? Tongues is common, but it is not common. Because not everybody who speaks in tongues. Even amongst us Pentecostals who believe in tongues, they're not too many people who have the discipline and the humility and the grace to be able to pray in tongues consistently, you know, and effectually and fervently. So it's common. Yet it is still not common. So it's going to be. Miracles will be common, but it still will not be common. It will be common among those who are following God. Hallelujah. And finally, and very, very importantly, we need the Holy Spirit to open the scriptures. That's why most people don't like reading their Bible. They find the Bible boring. I'm being honest. Because it happened to me for a short period of time in my Christian life. I repented and I changed. You know, once you know what the Bible says, once you have the mental understanding, Particularly if you are a little bit on the intellectual side of what we call cerebral, you know, you've read the Bible, you already know what it says, you know. So what's new? You know, is it Acts chapter 8? I can tell you, is Philip going to Samaria and meeting the Ethiopian eunuch? You know, in my mind, I already know what the Bible, mentally, I already know what the Bible says. So reading the same thing over and over and over again, after a while, just becomes a drudgery, you know, and a routine. If you're looking at it only in the natural. But like I said, you know, recently here in church, that is one of the reasons why we have two Bible reading plans. There's one over 1 year. There's another one over 3 years. The one over 3 years is in smaller sections. They go from 7 to 13 verses. Usually don't go more than that, you know, 7 to 13 verses. We discovered, you know, and I had to, you know, I you know, the Lord now told me, this was many, many years ago, you know, over 30 years ago or something. You know, the Lord now told me, he said, look, you know, there is a lot inside this word you don't know. Yes, I know you know what it says mentally, but there is still depth. And so I start praying and read it meditatively. They say, stop! You know, I say that many times when I'm preaching. It's the Holy Ghost who tells me that. I say, stop! What does that thing mean? How does this connect to that? Then the same Bible that looked so mundane suddenly comes alive. It's the Holy Spirit. It says, how can I know except some man guide me? And that's why you need to come to church. You have the Holy Spirit, but you also need the Holy Spirit that is inside the apostle, that is inside the prophet, that is inside the pastor, that is inside the teacher, you know, that will synchronize with the Holy Spirit that's inside your own heart. Then when you're reading the Bible, all of a sudden you hit something and then you begin to see something. You read something at home in your own Bible reading and the Holy Spirit started it. Then you come to church and he finishes it. Hallelujah. You need the Spirit of God to make the Word of God come alive. Smith Hugo said it this way. And I like it. He said, all word and no spirit will make you dry up. All spirit and no word will make you blow up because you don't have any borders. Then the devil can come in and give you false manifestations and all that. That's why you need the word gives us the boundaries in which the Holy Spirit operates. The Holy Spirit will never operate outside the word of God. So that way, when something blows and it's not inside the scripture, you know how to avoid it. But with the Holy Spirit and the Word, you will grow up. You need all of them. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Talk to God. Talk to God. Glory to God. Talk to God. We need the Word. We need the Spirit. We need the Word. We need the Spirit. We need prayer. We need an attitude, a heart of honesty and humility for us to see the manifold wisdom of God. This Bible is not just a historical account of Jewish history, of things that happened to the Jews. No, it is God's Word to all of humanity. Every human being's, the plan of God for every human being is inside the Word. Is coded, is hidden in symbolic language, you know, and it's all there. But it takes the Holy Spirit to unravel it for your own individual life. And that's why you need to have the Holy Spirit. And then you also need prophetic and apostolic and teachers and pastors who will now expound like what Philip did for that man. He expounded the scripture. And then when the man now understood, he understood it so well. And like somebody said, you know, this is, Pastor Wege didn't mention this, but it's true. There is no water baptism in Isaiah 53. When I read Isaiah 53, there's no water baptism there. Bible says, beginning at the same scripture. He now expounded, and then he explained to him, and then he obviously told him about water baptism. That was why when the man now saw the water, he said, what stops me from being baptized? So you see how scripture interconnects with scripture. Hallelujah. Let's talk to God. and ask the Holy Spirit to help us to open the Word of God to us. So that the Word of God is not just letter. It becomes spirit to us. Anytime you come to church, you get something. Anytime you read your Bible, you get something. Then the Bible now becomes interesting. I always look forward to my Bible reading every morning. It's my time of fellowship with God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. I will not trade it for anything. I read my Bible today, even though I'm preaching. I read my Bible today. I always read my Bible because it's not routine. It's a time of fellowship and meeting with God. And God will always, never fails. I will always get some light, some understanding, you know, some revelation, you know, some instruction. Always. Even though I've read it many, some of them I've read it 10, 15, 20 times, some of them 50 times, some of them 100 times. But the same thing I'm reading will come in a new light, a new understanding, a new application, a new revelation, a fresh thing. You need to have that. Talk to God. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. raise the other one to God. Please, in me, make it personal. In me, to some new word.
Some new word of love and grace.
I pray.
I pray.
Hallelujah.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord.
Holy Spirit.
I welcome you.
I welcome you.
Say, Heavenly Father, I come in the name of Jesus. I confess our sins and so clean with the blood from all unrighteousness, blocking my right standing with God so that your life can flow freely and maximally into my spirit as we pray now. In Jesus' name we have life. Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me this morning, reminding me of the vital importance of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in my heart according to your word. That will open up your word. That will enlighten your word to my mind so that your word will not be a boring routine when I read it, but rather it will become a living document according to your word, that the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of my soul and of my spirit, and is a discerner of my thoughts and the intents of my heart. Oh God, oh Lord, Holy Spirit, please come and help me. Accomplish in me today some new work. Let that be my experience daily. That as I read your word every day, I will get something fresh. I will get something new. There will be a new work of love, a new work of grace in my heart, in my mind, in my will, in my emotions, in my physical body, in my circumstances, in my life, so that my relationship with you will be a living relationship, that Lord God will touch me and inspire me and enable me to be a source of glory to you and a source of blessing unto men. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, open this word to me. Open it to me. Open it to me. Lord Holy Spirit, enlighten the eyes of my understanding, that I will not read your word as a dead letter, but I will read it as a living word. Help me, Lord. Let me, as I approach your word, help me to lay aside earthly desires, carnality, pride, stubbornness, anything that will hinder that light from coming into my mind, so that I will see the word the way you see it and hear what you are saying to me through your word, and so transform me into your likeness in Jesus' name. Amen. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Give the Lord a super clap offering. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Please be seated. Develop a personal relationship with God the Holy Spirit. He's the resident Lord upon the earth. He's the author of the Bible. And if you talk to him nicely, when I mean nicely, what I mean is be realistic. You know, God doesn't like pretense and religion. He doesn't really like it. He wants real people. So, Holy Spirit, what are you saying here? Talk to him just like you talk to your friend. Holy Spirit, please come and help me. Show me. He will show you. He will show you. He will, you know, he will help you. And you're tired, say, Lord, I'm tired, but I need your help. I need your help. Holy Spirit, please come and help me. You wake up and you're 4 o'clock in the morning, you don't feel like getting up. Say, Holy Spirit, I don't feel like getting up, but help me. Be real. He's looking for honest, real people. And you'll be amazed. I will say, okay. Sometimes you'll say, okay, wait, I'll help you, I'll help you. Oh yeah, come on. Oh, yeah. Take the first step. And you take the first step, second step, you say, see, I'm helping you. Yes! It's real. The Holy Spirit is a very, very nice, he's a very gentle, he's a very understanding person. But sadly, many Christians don't know the Holy Spirit as a person. Or should I say, they don't fellowship with him as a person. And he's the one that makes the Word of God alive. All these things we teach and preach, where do you think we get it from? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And when you're praying in tongues, that's one thing I wanted to say. Pray with tongue with strength. You notice when I'm praying in tongues, those of you who come on Tuesdays, even here on Sundays, you know, you hear my tongues. You see that my tongues will be changing. How many people know? You will see the thing will all be going. It used to be like that too. I learned to pray. When I pray, when I pray, you know, the thing will just move to another level. See, it's still tongues though. You know, you have some people talking to. Sorrow. Open your mouth. Open your mouth. Speaking tongues properly. You're talking a language, folks. It can be language of men or angels. Sometimes it will move from men to angels. Sometimes I know when that thing happens. So I don't be praying. I just hit a gusher. And a gush, and I know I've moved to angels. Because you see, I'm no longer talking. I'm now beginning to command. And then suddenly I come back. You know, so pray. And ask the Holy Spirit to help you. The Lord will have mercy on us. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.